Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Some weeks back, I mentioned that we will be moving this program entirely to our church's page on Sermon Audio, that is our Pilgrim's Covenant Church page, and then shutting down the Heart of the Matter page. On June 21st, that is next Friday, we will post the last Heart of the Matter program on our Heart of the Matter Sermon Audio page. From then on, all programs we do produce will be posted exclusively on our Pilgrim's Covenant Church Sermon Audio page. Now, currently, the programs are posted on both pages, but by the end of this month, Heart of the Matter will only be found on the Pilgrim's Covenant Church Sermon Audio page, where I know some of you do listen to it already. Now, as I confess, we've been doing more of late. We have a previously aired program for you today, but it's a loaded and worthwhile one, and I doubt anyone who heard it back when it was first aired will be bored listening again. Let's go to that program. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. We want to get to some information today that I've been wanting to get to for the past several weeks. We just haven't gotten to it. And for the discerning who will make application, you'll see that this is really a follow-up on last week's program. The story has to do with the registered church in China and, of course, the persecuted church. Now, the registered church is the puppet church of the Red Chinese government. The state church apparatus, as we've spoken of on this program, not for several years, but in the past we've spoken of this, the church state or state church apparatus, the religious apparatus, if you will, in China consists of the three self churches. That's the name of the registered churches, the China Church Council, the CCC, and the Three Self Patriotic Movement Committee, Three Self Patriotic Movement, TSPM. Those are the so-called Christian, well, they're government agencies that govern the registered churches, those last two, the China Church Council and the Three Self Patriotic Movement Committee. They are supposedly Christian, of course, and they're government agencies that govern the registered churches, that is, the Three Self churches. All right. We'll be talking about these organizations quite a bit now in the coming hour or so. Now, the purpose of the registered state churches in communist countries is to, one, be a propaganda organ for the totalitarian state, including by the use of compromised, proud, puffed-up Western pastors and evangelists, using them as propaganda instruments. That is, the state church serves as a closely controlled platform, a stage on which these Western stooges can perform before a hand-picked audience, thus providing the communists with the claim that there is religious liberty in their countries, and the unregistered free churches are just lawless troublemakers and agitators. Meanwhile, these Western evangelists and pastors can claim, look, I went into these communist countries and I shared the gospel. Aren't I something? And meanwhile, of course, the free church, the unregistered churches, suffer because of it and mourn because of it. Now, we're talking about the Grahams, for instance, Billy, Ned, and Franklin. We can't help but say they top the list. Lord willing, next week I'll share more on why I say that about the Grahams. And we'll bring up some other things as well. For now, just let me quote Ned Graham from one of his Eastgate fundraising letters, November 1997. Is the persecution of evangelical Christians a Chinese government policy? No! Explanation mark. There is no national policy advocating the persecution of Christians. As I say, next week we'll bring some more information and even updated information on the Grahams. The second reason for registered churches in communist countries is to lure Christians into a church where they can be carefully watched and controlled. As they get tired of being persecuted and paying a price for being in an unregistered church, eventually the hope is some of them will come into a church where they can be carefully watched and controlled. The third reason for these registered churches in the communist countries, we're going to be talking about China, a little bit about Russia, The third reason for these government religious organs is to infiltrate the registered churches with communist agents who profess to be Christians. This is all the better to ferret out any illegal Christian activity. The fourth reason, and we'll just give four, is to corrupt Christianity in that nation, to corrupt Christian doctrine, and to corrupt the government of the Christian church to the point that it's apostate. I say to just keep shrinking the true church is the hope, and to just keep expanding this registered church until any Christianity left is just totally apostate and no threat to the communist ideal of a godless totalitarian state. Now, the registered churches have always been a source of sorrow and pain and persecution for the Lord's true flock. I've just finished reading the true story of a Christian pastor, a Russian, a leader of the unregistered free church in that country. This man suffered very much for decades under communist rule, and so did his family. And he recounts how the registered church was used by the Reds to aid in the persecution of the true church. I'll read you a little excerpt from his book in that regard in just a minute. I will tell you, the spirit of the registered church is active right here in America, with some celebrity evangelicals more than a little eager to endear themselves to government officials and the world by smearing Christian brethren who are under fire for preaching and sharing the gospel publicly. And I mean in a godly and right manner. We'll share an incident, a case in that regard next week, Lord willing. But let's get to this latest development that has prompted me to open up this issue. Now, I'm going to be quoting from news releases put out by China Aid. That ministry is headed up by a very godly and humble, wonderful man who has suffered for the faith of Christ. In fact, both he and his wife were imprisoned in China for sharing the gospel until they escaped and came to America. Now, in the past, I've interviewed Bob Fu a number of times. It's been, I think, 6 years now, something like that, since I have. And in the past few years, I've been saddened to have it brought to my attention that China Aid now sometimes has articles in which Roman Catholics are referred to as Christians. Whether this is the policy or just, what would you call it, sloppiness, I guess. I don't know. On the part of China Aid, who is responsible, I don't know. But it does make it hard, doesn't it? I'm saying we greatly admire Mr. Fu and we value the information China Aid provides. But now we have to give that disclaimer out, and it's the reason we haven't in recent years been able to interview Mr. Fu. However, today you will be hearing shortened, truncated versions of two interviews I did with Bob back in 2004 and 2005. Now, together, those two interviews provide a glimpse into the diabolical workings of the registered church government apparatus in China and show how certain American ministry leaders are all too eager to promote the lies of that religious state apparatus even here in America. The programs both contain different information. You take it all together, I think it's well worth hearing these programs. But let's get to this China Aid information. Let me read you some excerpts. I hope you'll keep this information fresh in your mind as you listen to those two interviews I mentioned. And then next week, as we talk about a number of issues, including how men like Rick Warren and the Grahams have been used by the very red Chinese propaganda machine spoken of in these articles. That is, the China Church Council, the CCC, the Three Self Churches, the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the TSPM then, and the Religious Affairs Bureau. Now, this is a translation by China Aid Association. This comes out of Red China, put out by the government there. Let me just read a little bit here. Beijing Municipal Three Self Patriotic Movement Committee and China Christian Council hold a praise concert to celebrate the 90th anniversary of the founding of the party. So this would be In essence, this would be then the registered church, the leadership of the registered church that's being spoken of. And they're celebrating the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Communist Party, founded in oceans of blood, by the way. On June 11th, the Beijing Municipal Three-Cell Patriotic Movement Committee and the China Christian Council, commonly referred to simply as the two associations, there's a note in there, held a praise concert at the Century Theater called One Heart, One Direction in celebration of the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese Communist Party. In addition to the 1,700 believers in the audience, that's meant to be understood as Christian believers, also watching the performance were, and it lists a number of officials. We have, I won't try to name their names or pronounce their names. We have the director of the Beijing Municipal Bureau for Religious Affairs. There's the Religious Affairs Bureau. We have a full-time deputy director of the Committee for Ethnic and Religious Affairs. What do we have here? A number of those sort of officials. And then we have the chairman of the Beijing Municipal Christian Three-Cell Patriotic Movement Committee and some other such so-called Christian officials from the registered church. Now, I keep mentioning the Three-Cell Patriotic Movement, the China Christian Council, and the Religious Affairs Bureau, because you're going to hear about those three organizations, really just one, in these interviews with Bob Fu that will be coming up. I guess one's with Bob Fu, the other one is not. It's a solo program. But it has to do with some ministry that our Pilgrim's Covenant Church carried out, and you'll see the connection to these groups here as we get into that. Let me just read, as we move along, read also from China Aid. It is a press release from China Aid. It talks about a church here, Shouwang Church. I don't know anything about this church other than it isn't a registered church. It's a free church. Now, what is their doctrine? I don't know. I mean, are there any free churches that, you know, maybe have some problems with doctrine and so on and so forth? That could well be. In fact, sometimes under a situation where there's a lot of persecution, sometimes that does happen because solid teaching is so restricted, Bibles are restricted, and these things can happen. So I don't know if there are problems or not with Shouwang Church that way. I just know it's a free church, and this is very insightful. What we have here from China Aid, let me just read it. In a development that shows the Chinese government's determination to use all means available to bring one of Beijing's largest house churches into compliance, listen to this now, representatives of the government's three-self church system, so it's the registered church, it's the church where the Grahams of the world rush to preach in and then say, well, you know, we preach the gospel, aren't we something? And as Billy Graham said when he went over to Russia, he didn't see signs of persecution when he was there. But let's go on. Representatives of the government's three-self church system have taken part in the police interrogation of Shouwang church members detained in the past few weeks for persisting in trying to hold outdoor worship services. Well, they have to. They get kicked out of every building they're in. They get harassed. They get arrested. In Shouwang Church's weekly report on the now 10-week standoff with the authorities over a place for the church to meet, it said that, quote, in the past two Sundays, three South Church personnel showed up at many police stations to persuade, educate, and even rebuke the imprisoned brothers and sisters in an attempt to get them to leave Shouwang Church and join one of the three South churches, the registered churches, or to ask us to unconditionally abandon our outdoor worship. See, at the very least, just break up, stop worshiping, either join the government church or just stop what you're doing. And then it goes on. And there's information here how one Shouwang member talked about how his inquisitors, we will say, his interrogators, some of them had a deep knowledge about Christianity and the Bible, so they're well educated. And he said that while previous interrogations were focused on Shouwang's refusal to join the government-controlled Three-Cell Patriotic Movement Committee's church system, this time the discussion centered on loftier questions, including, quote, the central issue, unquote, of whether what Shouwang is doing is in accordance with God's will and biblical teaching. They talked, of course, about you must obey the government. And, of course, there are certain scriptures used out of context. We ran into that, as you'll hear about, in these ministries we were involved in that you're going to hear about with these two programs. What else do we have here? The Three South Patriot Movement Committee, which is ultimately controlled by the Communist Party, is directly involved in the government's attempts to force Shou Wang Church to give up trying to continue to meet. Skipping down, in light of the Three South Committee's clear role in the persecution of Shou Wang, it goes on to urge Christians to boycott an upcoming propaganda tour in the United States of an exhibit of Chinese Bibles that the Three South has been invited to bring to Washington, D.C. You see, invited by who? Invited by evangelicals, so-called, of course. Now, that's exactly what the program's going to be talking about, too. These propaganda events in the United States of America set up and really made possible by compromised evangelicals. In some cases, ignorant evangelicals, maybe, but in most cases, compromised, or so they claim to be evangelicals. Here's another story. If you can bear with me, one more. I hope I'm not rambling. This is from China Aid. Has to do with that organization World Vision, which we certainly wouldn't endorse. But anyway, listen to this. On the night of June 28th in the United States, in Beijing, it was the afternoon of June 29th, I, on behalf of lay leaders and pastors outside China, this is a lady who works for China Aid, who supports Shou Wang Church, placed a call to the Beijing office of World Vision. The receptionist connected me to Sister, and I wish I could say this woman's name, but I can't. I immediately conveyed to her, we'll say, the concerning greetings of us overseas Christians and said that we know she has attended many outdoor worship services and was picked up by police and placed under 24-hour surveillance. Now, I'm reading excerpts. Meanwhile, she confirmed the veracity of the news posted on Google Buzz, whatever that is, I'm not an internet person, and forwarded by many people that the Beijing branch, here it comes, of World Vision, was pressuring her, that is, a house church Christian, unregistered church Christian, to quit her job. Because, see, the police have picked her up. They're putting pressure on her to join the registered church. So World Vision says, hey, quit your job. Get out of here. You're embarrassing us. You're messing up our wonderful work for Christ here in China. She, the unregistered church Christian, faced this attack coming from within the body of Christ calmly with composure, admirably standing for righteousness without fear. And then it goes on, and I guess the pressure is on. My boss said that my activities cannot be allowed to impact the organization's development in China, and those in the managerial level are all in agreement about this. So there she is. She has to either stop attending that unregistered church and get with the program, get into that registered church, support the Red Chinese propaganda organ, trample all over the blood and righteousness and headship, by the way, of Christ. I'm talking now about Christ as the head of the church. Or you're going to get kicked out of World Vision. Now, these things I've read to you are simply consistent, a consistent witness, that is, of the treacherous nature of the registered churches in China and the arrogant nature of big-headed, put it that way, compromise Western evangelicals who think Christ just cannot build his church in China without their precious corrupting presence, which in reality brings sorrow and hurt to faithful Christians while strengthening the Red Chinese government's registered church apparatus. Now, we're going to go to those abbreviated, edited programs. First, the 2004 program, then the 2005 programs. Going to be a little choppy. They're shortened, they're edited. You'll see what I'm talking about. We had to do it for the sake of time. Now, these programs deal with a yearly propaganda event we heard was being held in this country, set up by the Red Chinese through an agent called Danny Yu. And as the second program explains, with the support of the likes of Chuck Colson. And, of course, the organizations involved are the organizations we've been talking about, the China Church Council, the Three South Patriotic Movement, the Religious Affairs Bureau. But before we get to that, I want to do something else. I want to read you an excerpt from the book, A Small Price to Pay. It's the story of Pastor Mikhail Gorev, a leader and an organizer of the Unregistered Free Church of Russia. That was under communism. Now, this man's father was a pastor as well under Stalin prior to World War II and was martyred. So it's the Free Church of Russia, the Unregistered Church of Russia, that this man was a leader and an organizer of all over Russia. That's the church with Christ as her head, not the state. But let me just read to you. This is fairly early on in his ministry, 1961. I'm just going to jump in here. I hope it doesn't sound choppy. We continued our meetings. Now no longer allowed to meet in flats, we began meeting anywhere we could. For years, people called us the underground churches, but we never went underground. Our services were always in the open. We were misnamed because we kept changing the place of our meetings, but we did not conduct secret meetings. We wanted people to be able to attend our services and openly told people where to meet. In other words, they weren't in the government's face, but they weren't secret either. And so they were changing meetings somewhat or places, but they were out in the open so people could come and hear the gospel. This is why the police knew our meeting places. Most of our meetings had several government agents in attendance, silently taking note of who was there and who the chief speakers were. Though we were aware of them, we kept on having our services. Our main interest was not evading the police. We could have done that quite easily, but we were confident that the Lord wanted us to be a loud voice proclaiming the saving power of Jesus Christ. Our desire was to feed hungry people with spiritual food. If we had truly gone underground, we would have met in secret, trying to avoid any notice. We would have sung softly, preached in quiet tones, and tried not to attract crowds. We did just the opposite. We sang loudly. We preached boldly. We invited our friends and neighbors to come and hear the gospel. We invited the children and the youth. Many repented. People heard the truth, and their hearts were changed. They were baptized, and the church grew. More than 450 people in Leningrad alone were now meeting outside the registered churches. The leaders, and here's what I wanted to get to, the leaders of the registered churches did not ignore us. They branded us as renegades, disobedient to the government. They spread gossip about us. We were called ignorant and unlearned. There was even a report that the leaders of our groups wore masks when they preached to hide their identities. These rumors grieved us, yet we pressed on. We knew we had work to do. Many of these rumors reached other churches throughout Russia. They believed them because they did not know better. Now, I'm going to stop there. It's quite a book. I couldn't put it down, but I want to stop there. By the way, and I hope I'm not meandering too much here, some give Pope John Paul II the credit for the breakup of the Soviet Union. That breakup that, no, it did not forever get rid of communism, obviously. There are plenty of problems in areas of the former Soviet Union, even places where Christians are still, in some places, still being persecuted. But so much light has come in and much religious liberty in most areas. Now, they say, well, Pope John Paul II, it was his strong stand that caused the breakup of the Soviet Union. That's ridiculous, of course. Absolutely ridiculous. We won't go into it. There is an argument to be made that President Ronald Reagan, with his strong political stand against communism, should get credit, at least some credit, for the breakup of the Soviet Union. Yes, politically speaking, Mr. Reagan was greatly used to that end. But let me tell you what the truth is. The truth is the credit for the fall of the Berlin Wall and the letting in of at least much more liberty into most of the Soviet Union must go, under God, to the unregistered, free, and faithful Christians and their pastors who suffered so much and sacrificed so much in order to remain faithful to Christ and his gospel, including keeping the church unpoliticized. That's so very important. Those people, those brothers and sisters are the reason our sovereign God broke up the Soviet Union. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the devil and his communist servants by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. And when I say his communist servants, I include those registered church pastors and leaders. Any freedom which has come to that region which was the Soviet Union has been in spite of the registered churches And in spite of the Western ministers and evangelists such as Billy Graham, who justified that registered church system and their communist masters. Now let's go to that first interview, finally, from 2004. It's in progress. This is going to be a choppy ride because I'll be breaking in at several points to share some things. And the program has also been edited down here and there in other places. Last week we were at the China Church Symposium, or Symposium on Church in China. Several different ways we can say it, I guess. But the bottom line is this was an event put on by the Christian Leadership Exchange, which is headed up by Danny Yu. This is a very smooth propagandist for the Chinese government. We had a very fruitful time in front of this symposium in Cyprus, which is a suburb of Houston, Texas. Very fruitful and interesting time. Hearts were revealed. We reproved the unfruitful works of darkness. We got information out to about 40 Chinese churches in the immediate Houston area, which were invited to this symposium, which featured state church officials from China masquerading as the true church in China. There were no house church pastors there, and the whole thrust of it was to convince Americans that there is religious liberty in China if people will just go along with the government. There is religious liberty. Well, we picketed in front of the China Symposium for 2 days in a driving rain and wind, very chilly, to say the least. We handed out flyers. We spoke with many people. We preached to some. This symposium was held in a very upscale neighborhood, and it was a long driveway back to it. We were at the end of the driveway. There's a fence. There's gates. There were security cameras. There were security guards, big-time security systems. The signs we held said things like, "No fellowship with wolves," Matthew 7:15. "The real Chinese Christians are persecuted" was another one. Danny Yu, "Wolf in Sheep's Clothing," another one. Another one was, "China Symposium promotes persecution." "The Chinese Church Council is red" was another one. Of course, that's the state church. "The CCC, TSPM, RAB, persecutors of our brethren." That's the CCC is the Chinese Church Council. The TSPM is the Three Self Patriotic Movement. That's the official church as well. And the RAB is Religious Affairs Bureau, because we know there were officials from that bureau at this event. And so we want to talk about this today. I have some audio clips for you to hear as well. And we have Bob Fu with us, who is the president of the China Aid Association. Bob and his wife spent time in China's jail system. His crime, with a quote around it, was holding secret Bible studies. And we appreciate Bob Fu a great deal. He's a man of integrity and honesty, and you can take him at his word, unlike Danny Yu. And I'm very open in saying that. The more I see of Danny Yu and read about him, the more I see that he is a very subtle serpent, and he needs to be exposed for the sake of our persecuted brethren. So today we're going to talk about WCU's ministry in Houston, including how the China Church Symposium officials reacted to our ministry, and they did react. And I want to say one more thing before we bring on Bob. This is an important issue. We are talking about persecuted Christians in China, even now, sitting in prisons, being tortured, being persecuted, being killed, literally beaten to death lately. A sister was beaten to death by government officials. This is about wolves preying on God's flock in two nations. They came over here to do some praying. We need to understand that the communists, the statists, attempt to enslave and destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to understand how they do it. When they can't prevail in an outright attempt to crush it openly, then they turn to more subtle, diabolical means to destroy the Church's effectiveness. So watch out, Christians. Watch out for government generosity, so to speak, and handouts, offers of peace and fraternity, when in reality it's only part of a campaign to corrupt the church and establish the preeminence of civil government over the church, to have Caesar as head rather than Christ. Bob Fu is on the line with me. Bob, thank you for waiting patiently until I got done preaching. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Overdell. Thank you for your time.
Well, the Chinese government, maybe you could just comment on the strategy they're using right now, because we heard from the people going into this Chinese church symposium, both from Americans who are friends of Danny Yu and also from Chinese that were here to go to it. We heard, you don't understand what's going on in China. Things are developing so fast. There really is religious liberty. You have to be patient. The state church, there's true freedom in the state church now. This is part of a strategy, is it not?
It is. And according to my internal knowledge, this is called the International United Front Policy. Mm. So what they do and are planning and to do is called going out strategy and coming in strategy. What the going out strategy is would ask some so-called pro-communist organizations like Mr. Danny Yu's to invite so-called these Chinese wolves, CCC and TSPM leaders and REB officials to get into the U.S. and start so-called symposium, discussion, seminars in order to do propaganda. And coming in, that means they invite these leaders of so-called Christian organizations like Ms. Danny Yu to come into the China and give them some good opportunities to do some so-called Christian things, as Danny Yu has been doing, and then instead, and they can do propaganda for them.
So it's the coming in, or the going out would be when they come to America and pose as Christians and say there's freedom over there. And then that was the going out, right? And then the coming in is when you bring in American Christians, you let them preach in the three South Patriotic Movement churches so they feel good about that. You promote their books, you promote their ministries, you help fund these things. I mean, that's what I've been seeing with several big name ministry leaders in America, that's how they've been how they've been compromised by the Chinese government in silence, and even caused them to promote Danny Yu and help what he's doing with this leadership Christian leadership exchange.
That's exactly the case.
Well, Danny Yu, we talked about him in the past. He seems to be a man who's very skilled at appearing as one thing but being another.
He is, and he has been, of course, leading different organizations, and apparently, to the Christians, he's doing some wonderful work, bringing American teachers and professionals, Christians, into China, and help improve the English education or some kind of other educations in China. And as you know, he was warmly received and awarded in the People's Hall of China by the Chinese Communist Party leaders.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, he actually has been holding a very, very close relationship with the TSPM, CCC, and the REB leaders, as well as the United Work Department leaders, which is the only arm of the Chinese Communist Party for policy making for all the religious policies in China.
Well, we were told always the same thing, because I talked to several of his friends, and they got quite upset with me. I'm going to play a couple clips pretty soon. For people, audio clips of this exchange, but we were always told the same things. Oh, things are different now. Things are changing rapidly. You just don't understand. And yet I know that just recently, for instance, the security people in China beat to death a Christian sister of ours.
Yes. And in Shandong province, my hometown.
For being a Christian. I mean, that's why she was beaten to death.
Yes.
And
she was beaten to death.
But we hear the same arguments from these people. Things are changing in China. I think it's just to disarm us. I had people say to me, one American said, I was born and raised in China. And I said to him, so what? I mean, Mao was born and raised in China. I mean, the truth is what counts. And I hope you don't mind, but I a number of times said my friend Bob Fu would tell you something different. He knows what's going on. He has contacts. And you do have contacts in the house church movement, don't you?
Sure. And we have our brothers and sisters constantly reporting and just sending information all over China. And the Chinese authority won't videotape arrest of Christians on the CCTV nor on the Tiananmen Square to let you see. Of course, not on the TSPM church that they are inviting these China-born Americans to watch. So that's very obvious that he couldn't see any persecution from his own eyes.
Well, we have to be very careful in these matters and go with what the truth is and what we know. And when you deal with these people, they're very, very smooth, and they would like to get you to back down and get uncertain. But we did none of that. And I want to share with you, Bob, and with the listeners, how the response we had just briefly, and have you comment on some of this. Of course, we had to deal with the very smooth serpents, but also we saw some raw hatred. We had two vehicles, people going into the symposium, that came straight at us, and at the last second swerved away. They came at a fairly high speed for that little, we were in a turn in into this long driveway road back right before the gate to the property, and they tried to intimidate us by pretending to hit us. The police were called. There were a number of police there, but they didn't arrest us. And, you know, there was a part of me that was saying, fine, arrest me, because then we'll get the story out even better. Here we have these Chinese church officials come over here and Chinese government officials, and they end up arresting Christians over here, the same reason that they arrest them over there for standing for truth. Then we also had, Bob, a security man who had been watching us all day. He tailed us then as we left. He tailed us to the restaurant. We saw him back there. We watched for things like that. He came through our motel room, our motel parking lot, checking out our cars. And then early the next morning, one of our people saw him out there again. Isn't that alike? Aren't they just using the tactics they use in China?
It is. It is rather surprising to me that they are adopting the same tactic against the Chinese registered churches,
and also
that they do against you and other truth-telling brothers and sisters here in America.
Well, we also had the next morning we went out, and this was a little bit surprising. I mean, I didn't think, you know, it's one thing if you're at a pro-life event or you're standing up at a homosexual event and preaching the truth to have these things happen. But we went out to where we had stood the day before. And again, it was a turn in from a busy highway onto a private road that went back. And we were on the public part of it before the fence that people had to go through. And here they had spread manure, animal manure, all over on both sides of that driveway where we had been standing. I found that to be maybe, without them even realizing what they had done, perhaps they were making a statement on how they view the Christians that they have in their jails in China and how they view those who stand up for them, perhaps. But were you surprised to hear about that, that they would go so far as to do that? In America, I mean, obviously in China, it'd be par for the course.
That's very sick. I think that's, that reveals their own, sick taste, you know.
Yeah.
The maybe it's a reflection of their own standing, you know, as well.
Well, if they do that in the green tree, so to speak, what do they do in the dry over in China? Well, we know what they do over in China. Bob, I'd like to play some clips for you. I hope you'll be patient with the noise. We had some very good interactions with some people as far as heart-revealing interactions. And to be honest, some of the very best parts of these interactions you can't hear. We're in it's a driving rain. There's busy traffic going by, and I apologize for all the background noise. Most of it didn't turn out, and I kind of feel bad because some of the best interactions by far aren't here. But we were able to sort of do a little surgery and get some of these interactions out that are kind of revealing, and maybe you can, I hope you'll be able to hear them and comment. I think it's a total of 4 minutes, four different clips. Now, this first one is with an American pastor who is a friend of Danny Yu, and as we had probably a 20-30 minute interaction, and a lot came out. But this was, I was able to only excise out two parts where I think people can hear, and these will be noisy too. But again, it was a driving rain, the very busy traffic going by us. But let's just play the first one, then we'll comment when it's over.
I find your presence in this statement not only an embarrassment to me, but to some very dear Christian brothers and sisters who are present here.
Well, we're glad you're there.
I'm not embarrassed for the reason that you think I am.
I don't know why you're embarrassed. I'm just going by what you're saying. You said you're embarrassed. You ought to be embarrassed.
Why should I also be
embarrassed? Because you think that Danny Yu is a good man. You know he's not a good man.
All right, strange as it may seem, I'm going to break in on this exchange here, even as it's just getting started. It was much, much longer. But the traffic noise gets really intense, even as the debate gets really intense. And we're just going to save time and listener fatigue. And so we'll pick up with Bob Fu in a minute here. Bob Fu and I talking about that debate that I broke in on, that debate between this American pastor defending the registered church apparatus, along with Danny Yu. And then, of course, I was on the other side of the Great Divide. Now, on the original program, the audio clip of this conversation was much, much longer. And in fact, we even then subsequently played another segment of the conversation, and then we talked between each. But I'll just tell you that the American pastor was adamant that the registered Chinese church is free of government interference. He was there. He saw it. He accepted invitations to preach in those churches, those government churches. He wasn't censored in any way, he said. I also confronted the man with the reality that the scriptures tell us we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, the part about the Chinese church is free of government interference came really in the second clip later on. When we pick up now with Bob and I talking to each other, we hadn't played that yet. But I also later told him we ought to obey God rather than men when we're told to obey men. But if we do, it'll be to disobey God. And I asked him what would happen if a registered church pastor preached on that. Well, he countered by quoting out of context, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, let's just jump forward. We'll pick up with Bob Fu speaking about the first audio clip of my debate with that man. We're not even going to play the second audio clip. Bob Fu actually, of course, heard both of them in full. All right. I know that was hard to hear, Bob, but I'll just point out, I don't know if you heard. First of all, this pastor, an elderly man who has preached, it came out later, he's been invited to preach in China a number of times. So, you know, he's a friend of Danny Yu's now. One, he said he was embarrassed by us. And two, he used the judge not. And three, we had to cut out because it was getting too noisy. But what I then confronted him with, does Danny Yu ever speak up for the house church Christians? Ever? Has he ever said one word to speak up for them? And of course, this man wouldn't answer my question. Could you hear any of that tape?
Yes.
Wasn't that sort of typical, though, that they would, I mean, they're embarrassed by us Christians who are standing in a driving rain in the cold, the men and women standing up for the Christians in China. And this man came out, this pompous man, and said he was embarrassed by us. And then he told us right away, judge not. That's sort of intimidation tactic for Christians, isn't it?
It is. And what kind of embarrassment? Of course, they should be embarrassed because of their lies were exposed. Because of your standing there and telling the truth, and it has nothing to do about judgment. And if you tell the truth about anybody, and Jesus also tells us, if you find even your brothers, if you find him against you or against the truth, you have to find him and tell him the truth. And tell, if he's still not repenting, you have to do something else. Mm. And let alone this man has been telling lies and with slippery language. And he did mention house church, not with this name, means some church with difficulties. That's his word.
Yeah.
That he's deeply concerned, and I don't know how deeply he concerned. And by inviting these persecutors to come, that's his concern.
Well, of course, I turned the embarrassment thing around. He said he's embarrassed, and he pointed to us. You can't see that. And I said, "Well, you should be embarrassed." And I turned it around. But the message this man had, which I think we're going to hear a little bit of that, is, if the Christian Chinese Christians in the house church would obey the government, then that would be fine.
If you register, of course, you have to obey the rules of the atheist Chinese Communist Party that will forbid you to baptize those who are under 18 years old, that forbid you to preach the gospel outside the four walls of the registered building. And if that forbids you to even preach the true gospel, that is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And Bishop Dean is forcing everybody now, it's a known fact, to learn and obey his new theology called justification by love.
Justification by love. And who's pushing that?
Bishop Dean, the former head of the TSTM and CCC.
Now, this man claimed he has preached freely in these Chinese churches, anything he wanted. What did they do? Even if that was true, did they just pack the audience or something with government officials? Or perhaps he's just not telling the truth. I don't know. He's a close friend of Danny Yu's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's no wonder. I mean, he can preach, yeah, whatever he wants in a church that packed, of course, with the people they chose. And, of course, he might indeed be allowed to preach in exchange for a good international United Front propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and why not try to share the gospel in the street?
Yeah.
Why not distribute a gospel tract, a booklet on the Tiananmen Square? I mean, is he trying to do this without a problem? That would be a litmus test I want to see.
It was an interesting conversation, to say the least. I wish I had some of the more powerful points of it, but that did make give us some insight on, again, arrogant Americans going to China, acting as stooges and coming back here, and really being accomplices to the persecutors of the brethren at this China Church Symposium. Also, just two more real short clips. This next one was a Chinese man, a Chinese lady, extremely fancy, obviously dripping with wealth. The lady started trying to take my picture right away when she heard I was the leader of our ministry. And this man, I believe, probably flew in from China. I really do. I think he was one of the government officials or one of the state church officials. And I want people to know they're going to hear the most intense part where I rebuke him. I patiently waited and tried to bring him out and ask him questions, gave him a chance to say the right things, and he didn't. And you can't hear him very good because he's on the driver's side of the car, I'm on the passenger side. And believe me, he was shaking. He was calling me names. He was rebuking me, and then I rebuked him. But it's interesting to hear what you can hear, the last part of it at least. All right, we're going to just jump past that audio, which I just introduced in that old program. For the sake of time, we're going to jump forward a bit. But before we do, at some point, you're going to hear me speak of having been arrested. Those times were in the context of ministry and not for any misconduct. I want to stress that. The context will explain the reason I brought it up. It's not something I normally would bring up. And I do want to stress, being arrested in America and even spending time in jail, it's not necessarily pleasant. And depending on the jail situation and how long one is there, and in some cases how the police behaved at the time of the arrest, it can be unpleasant even. Yet such an experience can in no way be compared to what our brethren go through in places like China. It's easy to be, quote, brave, unquote, when all that's at stake is some short-term discomfort. We Americans don't know what it's like to suffer and sacrifice for Christ and live with torture and death hanging over our heads and the heads of our families, all for Christ. So if someone wants to make a hero out of himself for being arrested in America, arrested, I say, doing ministry and not acting inappropriately, you just tell that person to go over to a Muslim land or go on over to China and see how brave you think you are there. But let's go back to that program. All right, we'll go right to the next comment so we get this in. This is Bob, this is very encouraging. A Bulgarian pastor had been persecuted under communism. We had a lot of good things happen here, too, but we're just running out of time. We had a lot of good things. A lot of information went out. I believe a lot of the local Chinese community, Chinese American community, stayed away from this because of the information we shared. And it's just some great things happened. We really hurt the church symposium, I think. But I just want to play this. A very strong Bulgarian pastor was going in. He was persecuted under communism. He said, "I'm going in to see what the spirit is in there." In other words, is it the spirit of truth or of lies? Who's leading who around? Who's saying what? What's really going on? And he says, "I'll know when I get in there." He said, "Because I know communists communist setup and propaganda when I see it. But he was so thankful because he wasn't sure. He didn't know. And then we gave him our information, and he was just, thank you for giving us this. Then he wanted me to come in with him. I had already been warned a number of times they would arrest me if I set my foot over this particular line. And I've been arrested before. I'm willing to be arrested, but I didn't want to play into the lawless view that they had of us and trying to say others are lawless. And so I said, no, you go in and get permission for me to come in, then I'll come in. And, of course, that didn't happen. But let's just listen to this quick before we run out of time.
We have friends who are being arrested right now. This is information that I like to know because I've persecuted them.
I can't. Yeah. I know.
1988, they persecuted break out of the church out without work, without money, without everything. Come with me. Stay next to me.
All right, if I go in, I'll arrest you.
Okay, Bob, down to about 3 minutes here, but I think you heard that man say that we fell for it. They set us up, too. Did you hear that?
Yes.
In Bulgaria,
yes.
Under communism. That was very encouraging, wasn't it to hear this man?
It is. It is. I hope and I'm praying that more and more people could see through these tricks, traps, and slippery talks and the United Front policies. Here in the United States, they are imposing, like this Bulgaria pastor, have a heart of willingness to know the truth, what's happening in China.
Well, we'll cut off this interview here, and now we're going to go to the 2005 program. I should mention that in that program, you'll hear me mention WCU. That stands for Wisconsin Christians United. That was a ministry I founded back in 1993, a few years before I was ordained the pastor of Pilgrim's Covenant Church. Now, shortly after the program you're about to hear, we decommissioned, you might say, WCU, and all our ministry is done through Pilgrim's Covenant Church. Now, we'll pick up this audio partway into the program, and it will be somewhat edited down, I say, the rest of this program, for the sake of time. But there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing that are very, very dangerous, and we've talked about that before. And I'm just back from a 4-day ministry trip to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I took a ministry team of 10 individuals out there. We had a wonderful time on the way out and the way back, a lot of good teaching on the way out and the way back, a lot of prayer during our time out there, a lot of good fellowship. But why we went out was, although we did some other ministry as well, the reason we went out was to confront, once again, this China, what is it? It's the Executive Forum on Ministry in China is what it's called now. It used to be the Symposium on the Church in China, something like that. But it's headed up by Mr. Danny Yu, a man who was born in Hong Kong, and he claims to just be a great force for Christian liberty and the Church of Jesus Christ in China. And, of course, he's just a puppet of the church, or I should say of the state church and of the communist government in China. And he's an enemy of the true church in China. And he heads up this group called the Christian Leadership Exchange. So the true Church of Jesus Christ is being persecuted severely in China, and because they can't crush it. So the communist government always does this. They create a state church, nice buildings. They can bring in these high-profile evangelicals, these celebrities from the West, let them tour the church, give them a chance to preach to a bunch of people that they handpick, and then they can say, oh, I preach the gospel in China. Oh, aren't I even greater than you thought I was? And that's what's going on in China. There's a state church. It's called the Three Self Patriotic Movement. Most of the leadership is party members. The pastors are appointed by the Communist Party. There's the China Christian Council, who oversees church activity in China, reports so-called illegal religious activities, and works to present this propagandized image of the church in China to the West, this false church. And then, of course, you've always had people like Billy Graham that will run over there and say, run over there to some communist country like Billy Graham did years ago and say, oh, I don't see any persecution here, and I was able to preach the gospel. Well, in this Three Self Patriotic Church, the state church, you cannot preach that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You cannot preach that he's head of the church. You cannot preach certain other things. You cannot evangelize the way we're called to do. You can't share the gospel with children under a certain age, and on and on and on and on. And the communist government, when they can't beat the Christians, they join them, so to speak, these communists. What they'll do is, as I say, create this puppet church that they can control. And that's what Danny Yu is a spokesman for. And his group, the Christian Leadership Exchange, puts on this China Church Symposium and brings in officials from the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the State Church, and also the China Christian Council. And they bring them in. And they put on this little event. It's not little. It's been huge, but it's getting smaller, much smaller, because we've been resisting it, exposing it, reproving it in the last several years, going out in front of the ministry where it's held and doing just that. Now, this year, before I forget, it was at Cook Communications, this big event by the communists. It was Cook Communication, a huge ministry, huge building where it was in Colorado Springs. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this Danny Yu, this wolf in sheep's clothing, his Christian Leadership Exchange brings in these people. I've talked about our event last year where they came after us with vengeance when we were out in front of their event. I mean, they spread manure on the ground where we stood. They put us under surveillance day and night. They were in our hotel parking lot watching us. They swerved cars at us. This year, things went a lot different because I did a lot of interviews on Christian media exposing what had happened. And I guess the wolves realized that they had to be, you know, a little more careful. They had to make sure their fur didn't poke out from under their wool so much. So it was a little bit different this year. But these people come in, and officials from the Communist Religious Affairs Bureau also come in. They used to advertise that right on Danny Yu's website, Christian Leadership Exchange, but now they no longer tell about the RAB officials. That website has shrunk down, a lot of information taken off it, we think because of the light that's been brought to bear on their dark deeds. But Danny Yu, he'll say, oh, yeah, there's some problems in China, but it's localized. It's just the local government. It's not the national government. And, of course, he's a liar. He's a liar. I'm a plain-spoken man. I've done my research. I use that word very guardedly, but he's a liar. The man's been feeded by the communist government in the Great Hall of the People in China, in Beijing. You think they do that for just anybody? So, anyway, this man comes in. There's been a lot of Western ministries that have backed this Christian Leadership Exchange and this symposium that they put on, including Chuck Colson, Prison Fellowship. And last year, they continued to back it. And there's others as well, but some have backed down. But let me just tell you about some of the friends of Danny Yu. For instance, Dr. Rick Warren, you know, purpose-driven infamy. He's written a glowing endorsement for Danny Yu and the CLE. And this is all, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine sort of situation. Listen to this. Saddleback Church, that's Rick Warren's church, our training ministry, Purpose Driven Church, and I personally have each benefited from the ministry of Danny Yu and the staff of Christian Leadership Exchange. They have been instrumental in helping us develop our ministry to the church in China. We have had the privilege of meeting churchmen at the highest level in China, even being able to host them in my home. CLE provide us a vital service. Ah, here it comes. Here's where Warren's back gets scratched. By leading the way to the publication of my book, The Purpose-Driven Church, into simple script Mandarin, we are told that this book has been one of China Christian Council's bestsellers. Of course, again, that's the communist church organ apparatus. As we have developed additional training materials for pastors in Chinese, CLE has been a vital part of seeing them distributed to the seminaries and churches. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, CLE, for all you do. We know God is blessing your efforts. That's the kind of man Dr. Rick Warren is. He's a Judas, and I'll just say it. He's not a man to be trusted. You know, if it helps his reputation, if it helps his ministry, if it helps his pocketbook, I guess, he'll go ahead and turn his back on the persecuted church in China. But let me read another endorsement. This is from Dr. Robert Schuller, an apostate, if I ever saw one. He says, thank you for CLE's efforts he wrote a long thing. I'm just going to read part. Thank you for CLE's efforts in helping the Crystal Cathedral's Hour of Power program develop in China. Isn't that interesting? Hour of Power in China. That shows you what kind of show that is if they would broadcast that in China. He says, as you celebrate the continuing development fellowship of the American and Chinese churches, I want you to know that I am with you in heart and spirit. Well, yeah, he's with him in heart and spirit. Schuller is with Danny Yu in his unregenerate heart, and he's certainly with him in another spirit, as it talks about, the word talks about 2 Corinthians 11:14. But these are the kind of people that are supporting Danny Yu, and it's all about me. I mean, it's all about them. You know what I'm saying? It's all me-driven, me-driven. Purpose-driven church, it's the me-driven church. That's what it's all about. And these people are wolves in sheep's clothing as well. And of course, wolves all stick together. So anyway, to get to the ministry this year, and I have talked about this before in general, this CLE and others, we went to Colorado Springs. This China Symposium this year was held at the Cook Communications headquarters, Cook Communications Ministry headquarters. They bring in these officials from the state Chinese church, most of them masquerading as Christians. There might be some that are actually compromised Christians who have just decided to go along to get along. And they bring these people in, including this year they had a man named Presbyter. He's a Presbyter, G. Now, I'm not going to say his last name. I'll probably butcher it. Jian Hong, I guess. Maybe I didn't do so bad. He was brought in. And this is a man who has said his family was very anti-communist, but then he found out that the communists are really good people. I wrote about this in an article called Red Wolves with Black Hearts. But this Presbyter G is also the head of the Three Self-Patriotic Movement Church. He is also involved with the Communist People's Party. He's on a committee there. And he has said, in spite of his anti-communist parents and his background, that he found out that the communists are very good people. He said this, "I learned that the Chinese Communist Party was not against religion. I also found out that some communists were great people. Their aim was not to destroy religion, but to serve the people." And that's when he decided to go to the top, I guess. Presbyter G, last year there was a reception for the officially recognized religions. There was a reception by China's central government, and this Presbyter G gave a speech in which he, quote, I'm actually quoting from some Chinese press now, praised the party and the central government for their success in implementing China's religious policy. So this is not a man to be trusted. He's a real wolf, and I could go on and on with the things he's done, but you've heard enough. So he was one of the speakers. So here we are. We went to China. We didn't go to China. We went to Colorado Springs, and there's this huge Cook Communications building, just multi-level and huge building. It's built halfway down a hill. There's a long drive up to it. It might have been close to a half mile long. On the other side, the hill towers over it, but cut out of the hill, there's a parking lot way down below by the building. The building's halfway up the hill, and then you have a road behind and another driveway coming into the parking lot behind. So that's the situation. So we set up at the driveways with our signs, with various messages, biblical messages on the signs, and we were able to stand on a sidewalk up above the parking lot. And as the Chinese came in, as the hundreds of workers from Cook Communication came in morning and night, we were able to preach. Our voices echoed not only across that parking lot, past the building, but the people on the other side, a half mile away, picketing, could hear at times what we were actually preaching. And we confronted these workers with truth. We handed out literature to them. We had our signs at both entrances, and we preached. It was an incredible time. An awful lot of hearts were revealed. We were able, and I've agreed not to give the man's name because he shared some things with me in confidence, but there is a man who you would know who is a very well-known evangelical leader. He's the head of a huge group of evangelicals, and he was going in to give a 30-minute message. We were able to get our literature to him and talk to him, and he claims when he was in there, he said he thanked God for us out front and that he prayed for the day religious liberty would truly come to China. When he spoke to the delegates of this symposium, when he came out, he told me, "You're right. They're all communists. You're doing the right thing." So what an impact that man will have on other people with this literature that we gave him. Fewer and fewer people, fewer and fewer ministries are going to want to host this Chinese symposium. We also had, interestingly enough, we had a symposium official, one of the people involved, stop, roll down his window. This was an American, one of the hosts of this symposium for the Chinese, this propaganda event where the whole point is to mix these so-called Chinese Christians. They're not so-called Chinese, but they're so-called Christians with the American evangelicals. So the net result would be that the Americans would be convinced that, you know, things are happening in China. Be patient. Stay away from that house church movement. They're not what you think they are. They're trouble. They're anarchists. They're getting in the way. Just support the state church. That's what it's all about. Well, we were not surprised to have one of the symposium officials stop. He had some Chinese with him in the car. He rolled down his window and he said, get an effing life. And he didn't just use the first letter of the word. He used the whole word. We also had a man from Cook Communications, which was hosting this event, come up to me and talk to me. You know, he was putting on a happy face because he knew he better behave himself, because this particular ministry, the word got out through Christian media. I did a number of interviews on this whole ministry we did and on this event, and so they knew they better be a little careful. They didn't want to look like persecutors of us, even as they were helping the persecutors of our brethren in China. But he said, the world is coming together. Well, that's true. That's true. But he talked about it like it was something good. The world is coming together and all the barriers are being broken down. And that's exactly true. He revealed his heart and revealed what it was all about. But we had a great time. There's so much I could tell you about. We also ambushed the Chinese at their motel. We found out where they were. It was actually a fancy hotel. So we got a hotel right next to it. And the morning of the second day, well, the Chinese, some of them were eating breakfast in the lounge there, the hotel in front of the great big picture window. You guessed it. We showed up with big signs there. And then around the side, a Chinese man from the seminar was eating something in his room. I don't know if he's eating something, but I know he was listening to some music on a headset, and we showed up outside his room. And so they were pretty shocked, because that doesn't happen in Red China, but this is the good old USA. And we stood for a while, and then we backed back to the public property before we get in real trouble. And then we did a little preaching there. They had a van turned on. They shut it off when they saw us, and they stayed in the hotel. So then we went ahead of them and got to the seminar. And we were there about 8 hours altogether at this symposium, three different times doing what we were doing. And just a wonderful time overall. And we saw far fewer people go in this year than last year. And we think we're having a real, real effect. We also, there's so much more I could tell you, but it was just wonderful time. And I'm thankful for the people that prayed. And we were able to also get, we found out this Cook Communications staff, the people that hosted that event, we found out the email of a number of their leaders, and we got information about the China Symposium and Christian Leadership Exchange and Danny Yu and the people speaking. We got that into a number of people in the Cook Communication apparatus. And we also, as I say, gave out literature. We sent letters to Chinese churches in the area informing them about Danny Yu and his CLE and what this is all about. And as I say, we also did a number of different radio interviews. So it was very good. And it was interesting, too, all the exchanges we had with people going in. One man told us we must work with our enemies sometimes, just as God's people did in the Old Testament. And we informed him that, no, actually, when God's people worked with the enemies of God in the Old Testament, they were severely judged for that. And God hasn't changed. But that's how it went. And I'm thankful for the people that knew about it and were praying. We couldn't really make it public that we were going out there for obvious reasons, but it's the second year we've done this, and I've kind of compacted an awful lot into a short time here. I hope I wasn't confusing, but it was just incredible time, worthwhile. Please continue to pray about this situation. These people being the state, the Chinese state officials, they're being, church officials, I should say, they're being wined and dined around America. I understand they were at the National Prayer Breakfast. I mean, they have to be exposed for the sake of the true church in China. But we need to cut in here. The last part of that program, which we won't hear, I spoke of a biblical wetness we conducted in Colorado Springs. The subject was homosexuality. I say another biblical witness other than what you've been hearing about. We held a large banner and some large signs with biblical messages, and we handed out literature on homosexuality. We did this in several places at busy intersections each time. For instance, we had a big banner that said homosexuality is sin, and then we had biblical messages on signs relating to homosexuality. Now, in one case, in one of those witnesses, we were set up a couple of blocks from the headquarters of Focus on the Family. Our signs were simple and biblical, obviously not the Fred Phelps type of messages. Nevertheless, we were assailed by several Focus on the Family individuals, women in each case, who were adamantly against our witness. And they spared no emotion or words in telling us so. But that's another topic, and we need to close by reminding you we will take up, Lord willing, the topic we've been dealing with on the program today. We'll take that up again next week.